Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
On this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, welcome to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 31 years. If you were waking up on this week 165 years ago, 1884, President Franklin Pierce, 14th President of the United States, ratified the Gadsden Purchase. It became effective as of June 30th, 1854. The reason for the purchase is we needed more land from Mexico, even though we had gotten the territory from them in the war.
Right.
We decided later we needed more. I think what I would have done instead of paying for another 22,000 square miles or whatever it was, I've been like, you know what? Sorry, we sent you the draft. That's not the final version of the territory lines.
Oops.
And it turns out here's the borderline, because remember, we won the war, but no, we bought it. We bought the Gadsden Purchase. It gave us the land we needed to complete the rails through to California and the Pacific Ocean. We needed that flat territory across the border.
That's how the railroads were built. It was kind of like water. The point that of least resistance is how they built the railroads.
And they're getting a new point of entry in Douglas. Last week, the Cochise County Board of Supervisors unanimously approved a preferred site development that's 7 miles from the city center. Their current one, the Raul Castro Port of Entry, was built in the 1930s, and as you can imagine, our needs are a little different than they were 80 years ago. So
I wonder if the structure is still holding up that well.
I haven't been there. You know, this is one of those rare times where we have a staycation in a town of Arizona I have not been to. But we're going to have an interview a little bit later in the hour with the event coordinator for Douglas Days, as well as our Joseph, who was our staycation winner, who stayed at the Gadsden last week. The border town of Douglas, Arizona, has been the highlight of our April Arizona staycation. Next month, it'll be Catalina and the Catalina foothills around Tucson. And we actually have a guest right now who's not far from that area, because we're getting close to the big horse race of the year. And regular listeners of the broadcast know I've been working on a series of horse broadcasts that I wanted to bring to the listeners. Just one, it interests me. I think it's a fascinating topic, and there's so many different uses, and the horse is such a part of our history that it doesn't get, I think, the current credit and highlight it needs to. But we're going to jump ahead. I was going to start. I'm very meticulous and detailed and chronologically in place, and we were going to start with the history of the horse, but we're going to jump straight to horse racing because the Derby's coming up. And what you may not know is Arizona is home to a racetrack industry program at U of A in Tucson, and we've got Director Wendy Davis on the line to tell us about the racetrack industry program right here in Arizona. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
And you are the godmother of this program, and you've been there since day one.
I have been almost the whole time. There were a couple years in there that I was out working away from the university, but I was one of the first through the program. So there's a lot of institutional memory here.
When did the program start?
We started in 1973. It was the brainchild of Jack Goodman and a number of his friends who looked at racing and were real visionaries and said, you know, this sport, this business is really growing up. It's getting a lot more complicated than it was in the old days. And they felt that there was a real need for an increased opportunity for education, and really the need for the curriculum that was based in a major university.
And why U of A?
Well, they looked, I think, at a number of other areas in the country, and those that fit the parameters, which had, they wanted a land-grant school, they wanted a state that had thoroughbred racing, quarter horse racing, and at the time we had greyhound racing in our state. And they also didn't want it to feel like it was just a school for people in Kentucky. You know, everybody thinks about racing and the first Saturday in May at Churchill, and all the breeding is also in centered in Kentucky. They wanted it really in a neutral area, so it was really an educational program for the whole country. And as it turns out, we have international students that come here also.
How many students do y'all have any given year?
We have between 25 and 30 at any given time. We have a lot of students who come as second degree students or transfer students. So we don't have all of our students a full 4 years because they come in with quite a few credits. So we have a lot of students who are here for, you know, a year or two and move on, and then we get the next group in.
And what does the curriculum consist of? I mean, is it just all about horse racing? I'm really trying to wrap my head around the fact that you can't – there's no other racing college. There's not like NASCAR racing college or anything else like that, but the horse industry is so complicated and complex, it warrants a whole degree program.
Exactly. So along with the general education courses that you take to earn the Bachelor of Science degree, we have a cadre of courses that are racing specific. Racing law, how to manage resources, and how to manage the business. Oversee the wagering, oversee the marketing, oversee the management of the facility as far as the backstretch, because most racetracks and almost every thoroughbred track has this huge barn area. That in and of itself is an entire business, just making sure that everything there is managed. So we have those classes that are very unique to the racing business, especially the racing law. Racing is one of the most regulated sports because of the gambling aspect. Obviously, that landscape may be changing with the advent of more sports wagering, but we'll see how that shakes out.
Well, it's definitely more regulated than the championship game the Saints lost, right, Gary?
Yeah. You had to bring that up again.
I would agree.
Yeah.
So, and we do train the racing officials. So the horse racing's version of the guys in the striped shirts, we help train those folks here. So I watch those games, and when referees make interesting calls, I tell my husband now we wouldn't have made that mistake in horse racing. But we've got really two kinds of students. Those who are more interested in the business side, the management, the marketing, the wagering side, and then about half the students are far more interested in the hands-on horse part. They'd like to be breeders. They'd like to be trainers. They'd like to be bloodstock agents. So after everyone takes our racing-specific classes and also a group of basic business classes, because we have to face it that, you know, business really runs everything, the student either does additional business courses or goes more down the path of a traditional equine science curriculum, where they'll do nutrition and reproduction, some more horse handling type courses. So with all of that, that breadth, we can really prepare our students for whichever direction they want to go. They're also all required to do an internship. So that's where we get them hands-on opportunities in whichever direction they choose. And we find it's really interesting and rewarding that a lot of folks come into the program and they may not have a real understanding of what all is available out there. So they come with a mindset of, I want to do A. And by the time they're done with school, they found out that there's B through Z. And they may have changed their path path totally. But that's what's fun, to have people find their passion in the sport.
And I was excited to bring this topic to air, and I thought, oh, this is going to be great. Nobody knows about it. This hasn't been covered. And we were going to be the first to cover this in a long time until I opened my May edition of Arizona Highways, and there you are on page 10. I thought they were thinking the same thing we were, but I don't mind getting beat to the Arizona press by Arizona Highways. Interesting article there, and it talks about the hands-on side of the Equine Center is getting ready to move.
We are. The university was gifted a beautiful horse farm out on the northeast side of Tucson. And it's the former home of Almara Arabians, and a lovely facility, almost 100 acres, set up to be a facility to breed and train, raise horses, and also has a lot of infrastructure that allows it and really is set up to teach. And Mrs. Tankersley, who owned Almara, was a huge proponent of education in no matter what area. And I think she'll be very pleased when she sees the program moved out there.
Well, you talked about internship later. After the break, we're going to talk about all the opportunities, because anybody may think, well, what is there other than Turf Paradise? Well, we'll talk about those things along with all the different industries that revolve around horse racing in Arizona, and a little bit of the history. It used to be a lot bigger than it currently is, and some of the famous horses and some of the famous horse breeders and names around the horse industry that all have come or have ties back to Arizona here at Rosie on the House. More with Wendy Davis right after this.